Hello, I'm Linor Moudou. Welcome to Health Chat. The world just commemorated World AIDS Day on December 1st. According to UNAIDS, inequalities are holding back progress towards the elimination of the HIV epidemic and still prevail for the most basic services like testing, treatment, and access to new technologies. In Africa, young women and adolescent girls remain disproportionately affected by HIV. The UNAIDS latest report reveals that adolescent girls and young women are three times more likely to acquire HIV than adolescent boys and young men of the same age group in sub-Saharan Africa. The driving factor is power. Take a listen.
The World Health Organization says about 38 million people were living with the human immunodeficiency virus at the end of 2021. There's no cure for HIV, but experts say effective antiretroviral treatments can control the virus and help prevent transmission. However, the treatment adherence has been a challenge for some people.
ART is lifelong. You have to take medication every day. You have to be adherent to take the medication the same day every day. And sometimes some patients experience drug fatigue. They experience drug fatigue and also they experience a lot of stigma around HIV. Sometimes it's not because other people know about it, but because of the way they feel about living with the virus.
Over the years, medical advancements have enabled people to have more choices for prevention and treatment. This includes long-acting injectable cabotegravir used for the prevention and treatment of HIV. African countries such as Zimbabwe and Uganda have approved the use of the injectable drug. Observers say it could help improve adherence because it's easy to use.
Since I'm on PrEP using the pills, I feel so happy that right now I'm going to transform from using the PrEP to using the injectable. It's an amazing thing because with PrEP, you have to remember that, today I have to take the PrEP. And with myself, as I'm working in the mobile clinic, sometimes I get home very late, so I still have to take the PrEP. So with injection, I know that it's in my body. It's something that I move around with rather than moving around with the sound of the pills. Yeah, so I'm very happy.
While medical advancements have improved the lives of people with HIV, UNAIDS reports that inequalities are causing a rise in new infections, and people continue to die due to lack of access to the prevention and treatment services they need. The WHO says more than 18 million people are on lifelong HIV treatment worldwide, but an almost equal number do not have access to treatment.
We ask, how much of a concern is HIV/AIDS to you these days? And what are your thoughts on getting tested for HIV before starting a new relationship? Here are some reactions from Jos, Nigeria.
I would say about HIV/AIDS and myself, I know it's there, but the consciousness is not as high as before. Yeah. Testing for me, of course, before I got married with the test. So it's something I subscribe to. The truth is that it goes a long way to help both of you and help the children you or the child or children you could bring to the world.
Because I don't consider it any different from hepatitis, diabetes, or blood pressure. Their illness, it's an illness that can be transmitted. Mosquito transmits malaria. So, okay. It's just that I know it's preventable. And I was thinking, HIV, they're not shouting about it as they used to. But I think it's a conversation that shouldn't stop until it truly stops. People are still getting infected. People are still dying. Amazingly, people are still dying from AIDS, which shouldn't be. But it's a concern to me. HIV is not a concern to me as much as the fact that the information isn't going out as it should anymore. You know, get tested. That's not supposed to bring a stigma. It's supposed to, it's about being open. I have an amazing couple in my life that I really love. I met them only this year. The wife was positive, but the husband isn't. And he knew before they got married, and he still said, come on, I love you more than the HIV. And he's married to her. They have two kids. Both of them are negative. The husband too is negative. She's living a healthy life, taking her retrovirus, and they have such a happy home.
Looking at the situation in Nigeria, you tend to think that it's not actually there because of what we're going through. It's like it's relegated to the background, but it's there. Yes, of course, there are ERVs, you understand, but then you still live with it. It just drops it to some, you know, degree, not eradicated. So you still live with it.
Well, the proof I've seen people going to hospital who are on drug. I know the drug is a suppressive one to keep people fit. So that tells me that HIV is still around. Unlike in the past, we see people getting lean. So this the medicine they are taking now has suppressed it, but it doesn't make it absent. Sexual promiscuity is on the rise. It's on the rise. One, there's lack of awareness on the side of people knowing that, yes, this thing is real. And some people will say, whether I have sex or not, if I would die, I would die. So as a result, people go into careless sexual relation with other people.
In October, Zimbabwe became the first African country to approve the use of the injectable HIV prevention drug called cabotegravir. As Columbus Mavunga reports from Harare, Zimbabwe, many are eager for the drug to become available.
A 32-year-old Zimbabwean woman who requested not to be identified says she received an injection of the HIV prevention drug called cabotegravir while she was working in the United States.
Yeah, I'm excited that there's now cabo in Zimbabwe. I'm excited, it's good news. Well, I prefer the injection to the pill because the injection is convenient. You only get a shot after every 2 months. Unlike the pills, you have to take them every day at the same time. And there's a risk of defaulting because there are a lot of things that happens during the day or in life, actually. You might go to a funeral, you forget your pills at home. So with this injection, you only get a shot after every 2 months, and it's only 6 shots per year, which is better preferred to tablets.
Zimbabwe is the first African country to approve the use of the cabotegravir or CAB-LAM. The United States approved the drug in December 2021 and Australia in August 2022. In 1999, Zimbabwe introduced a 3% AIDS levy to help fund the country's response to HIV and AIDS. Individuals pay 3% income tax, and employers and trusts pay 3% on profits for the effort. The World Health Organization has commended Zimbabwe for approving cabotegravir, saying it would pave the way to providing more safe and effective options for HIV prevention. Farai Masekela, the head of evaluation and registration for the Medicines Control Authority of Zimbabwe, or MCAZ, says for now, cabotegravir is only allowed for HIV prevention.
There are going to be other preparations containing cabotegravir, which may be submitted at a later time by the applicants or the manufacturers of the product, which will be used for treatment. But the current one, which has approved, is meant only for prevention of HIV and not for treatment.
Dr. Nyaradzo Mugodi of the University of Zimbabwe Clinical Trials Research Center, who headed trials in 9 African countries, says the drug is very effective and is calling for Zimbabwe to roll out cabotegravir as soon as possible.
Because this is a good drug which we as women need access to. So I cannot give you a timeline, but all I can say is to the policymakers who are listening out there, to expeditiously make it available to women, because us as African women, we continue getting HIV at alarming rates. And one infection is one infection too many. When we have got something that works, we should make it available to the person or the persons who need it.
Supporters say access to drug will also help Zimbabweans stop relying as much on other countries for drugs to treat HIV/AIDS. Columbus Mavungam for VOA News, Harare, Zimbabwe.
Following Zimbabwe, Uganda became the second African country to approve long-lasting injectable drug cabotegravir for PrEP, pre-exposure prophylaxis to prevent the transmission of HIV. About 1.4 million people are living with the virus in Uganda, according to official data. On World AIDS Day this year, Uganda President Yoweri Museveni called on the youth to, quote, take HIV seriously. I spoke with Dr. Nelson Musoba, Executive Director of Uganda AIDS Commission, and asked him to elaborate on some of the country's priorities in the fight against HIV/AIDS.
Dr. Nelson Musoba, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You are the Executive Director of Uganda AIDS Commission. Would you give us a sense of how the HIV/AIDS crisis is doing, is ongoing in your country? What is the status of HIV currently in Uganda?
Thank you. It's 40 years now since the first AIDS case was described in Uganda. It was in 1982 in a rural hospital called Kalisizo Hospital, and the patient was in Rakai district then, which was the epicenter of the AIDS epidemic in the 1980s, and the patient was from the shores of Lake Victoria, a place called Kasensero. The HIV prevalence, first of all, you know, it was AIDS was a mystery then. It was people had all kinds of myths about what the cause was. But the epidemiologists continued following it. And our first case was described in 1982. The HIV prevalence then was 18%, the national average. But in certain subpopulation groups, you know, the armed forces, incarcerated populations, key and priority populations, it would go as high as between 30 to 40% HIV prevalence. As we speak now, the prevalence has reduced dramatically, including how HIV and AIDS presents. You know, back then it was, first of all, a diagnosis of HIV was like a death sentence. There was no treatment. The only available source of help then was prevention. You know, the famous ABC campaign, counseling the patients. In the early 2000s, a lot of our people started accessing antiretroviral therapy, especially courtesy of the American government through the Presidential Emergency Relief Fund for AIDS and PEPFAR. And in that decade, we rapidly enrolled our people. By the end of the decade, we had enrolled close to 1 million people. And of course, enrollment on ART changes the whole picture. The people start living a near normal life. The symptoms disappear. That also goes with the disappearance of stigma, because back before the advent of the antiretroviral therapy, because of the presentation of the disease, there was a lot of stigma. People got locked away, you know, in their houses just to keep away from the staring from the neighbors and other community members. The situation is no longer the same. Although we have no cure, we have no vaccine, but with antiretroviral therapy, with other availability of prevention interventions, people are living a much better quality of life now. We have approximately 1.4 million people out of a population of about 42 million living with HIV now, about 5.5 HIV prevalence. The rates of new infections are still high, so we've not yet closed the tap on new HIV infections. Yeah, so that the burden, there has been dramatic reduction, but the burden remains high.
The burden remains high, and you've given us a picture that is very hopeful. This is good news. UNAIDS, in its latest report prior to World AIDS Day, the report released by UNAIDS says that there are inequalities that are creating an impediment to the end of the epidemic, or at least to improving the picture overall. How does this translate in Uganda? Are you Are you in your country seeing such inequalities?
Yes, yes, indeed. We are seeing inequalities within our own populations. And indeed, from based on the global theme of Equalize for the World AIDS Day, Uganda's national theme for the World AIDS Day is ending inequalities amongst adolescents, young women and boys. And we chose that theme exactly because of that reason. We see inequalities, you know, we see a lot of stigma and discrimination even after 40 years of having the epidemic. We see, you know, inequitable access to income. One of the underlying driving factors is inequitable distribution of wealth. And because of young people, especially the girl child, not accessing some of the basic things, you know, lack of access to menstrual hygiene materials, scholastic materials, they are forced into, you know, transactional sex. They are forced, you know, to go into relationships where there is power imbalance with older men with whom it's not possible to bargain for protective sex. So yes, indeed, the inequalities still exist. And because of those kinds of inequalities, they are part of what continues to drive new HIV infections.
When you look at these challenges, where are the priorities for the Uganda AIDS Commission at this point?
We are focusing on young people because we, like a lot of the world, Uganda is a young population. More than 70% of our population are young people below the age of 30. But also when you look at the data that has been generated, it shows, I told you about the 54,000 new HIV infections in 2021 alone. You know, majority of those, 20,000 of those were amongst young people between 15 to 24, and two-thirds for every five infections, four of those were girls. So our priorities now are focusing on young people, focusing on the adolescent girls, young women and boys, but also, you know, people who are at the margins, vulnerable populations, the commercial sex workers, the, you know, the incarcerated populations, the men who have sex with men, the ones, you know, who are outlawed, whom stigma is highest. It is where the infections reside, and we are focusing on ensuring that interventions address those groups. That's the only way that we'll be able to meet the 2030 targets.
And speaking of intervention, Uganda approved the use of the injectable HIV preventable drug, cabotegravir. Tell us more about that. What does it look like in terms of deploying this strategy in the country for prevention? Is it also being considered for treatment? Talk to us more about this.
Yes, of course, there are a number of interventions, prevention interventions that are already in place. Uganda is known for the ABC campaign, the abstinence being faithful, and condom use, you know, since the early days of the epidemic. We've since added on, you know, first of all, treatment itself is prevention. I'm sure you've heard about U is equal to U. When you take your medication well and you suppress your viral load and it's undetectable, you'll be able to protect your sexual partner. But also if you're a couple that would like to have a baby, then you will be able to have an HIV negative baby. So in addition to those technologies that are already available, once we have PrEP, you know, but PrEP in the form of oral pills, this means you have to take, and this is available for populations at risk, including commercial sex workers, including people in discordant relationships, and those who are having sex with partners whose sero status they are not aware of, those regularly changing sexual partners. That is where PrEP is needed most. But as we know, taking pills on a daily basis can be challenging. Adherence can be an issue. And sometimes you have to take it because the science is such that you need to build certain levels in your system for it to be protective. The injection, you know, removes lots of barriers. You know, it addresses the adherence challenges. It addresses the stigma and discrimination challenges. Sometimes people are in a relationship and they have not necessarily shared their HIV status with their partner. And the PrEP injectable, you know, addresses that. So it's a welcome additional option. As a country, we just say yes, we shall add this to our options. We will go into looking at, we will sit down with our partners, look at the resources available. But the, our approach has always been that every time there's a proven cost-effective intervention, we make sure that our population accesses it. When the treatment version of this becomes available in Uganda, because I know that it has been approved elsewhere, I think including the United States, we are still doing some studies locally here to see how our own population copes. But once the treatment option becomes available, I have no doubt that, you know, this will be taken on again amongst the options that becomes, you know, we provide to our clients. The more the options, the better for those people will be able to choose what works best for them, and it will be easier for us to fight it.
So how will it be made available to patients? Because some people have complained about the cost, especially in settings that are low and middle income. They are saying that people will not be able to afford a cabotegravir. So how is what is Uganda's approach to make it accessible to patients? And how accessible will it be?
The concern of cost is indeed real. What has happened in the past is that every time these molecules and technologies become available, government, you know, quickly discusses with the partners and often offsets that cost. Because if we left it for the patients to meet the total cost, then we will be, you know, making it impossible for these patients to access this this treatment. And we won't make much progress. So the cost, when this is available, is likely to be met by government. The patients, you know, can meet travel costs and other opportunity costs for them to make themselves available to travel from wherever they are coming from to come and access. But the direct costs of purchasing the medication, of doing the tests to be able to get onto the medication will definitely be met by government working together with the partners.
And what about in terms of administering it? Do they have to go to the health center, see the doctor? They cannot do it themselves, I suppose.
Yes, that is the one challenge. I think while it comes with multiple advantages, being an injectable, it requires a higher level of skill, and it will require a professional to administer it. I think it's a smaller opportunity cost to pay, because if you're going to travel to the health facility once every 2 months, for instance, for you to get an injection by an expert, it is better than, you know, swallowing a pill every day. I'm sure when we talk to our patients and show them the advantages, I have no doubt that they will be willing to undertake the cost of traveling to look for a specialist. Maybe with time, when people are trained, it could become like the case of, you know, diabetes, where people administer themselves with insulin. But at this stage, I think the patients or clients will have to move and look for the experts to administer the treatment.
And before we wrap, Dr. Musoba, to what extent is Uganda winning the war against AIDS? Can we say that Uganda is winning the war, or is it very much a challenge still?
Uganda is winning the war. I will point out one or two challenges shortly, but Uganda is winning the war. In 2016, the UN set up the 90-90-90 targets, the UNAIDS 90-90-90 targets, where 90% of the people who have HIV test and know their status, and 90% of those who test positive are enrolled on treatment, and 90% of those who enroll take their medication so that they are virally suppressed. And that target was supposed to be met by 2020. Now, Uganda was one of the 8 countries globally that achieved the 90-90-90 by 2020. Unfortunately, following COVID, like most countries, you know, some of our gains were reversed. We saw new infections rising. the curve is not quite bending at the rate that we had expected it to bend. I've just mentioned new infections. We have complacency. We have, you know, we see infections amongst young people, but we are raising the vigilance. We definitely, we know that it's an uphill task, that the timeline is short. 2030 is only 7 years away, but we think that with everyone's contribution, with all the, with the communities coming in, with those who are affected being part of the fight, we can meet this target of ending AIDS by 2030.
And what is your message for this World AIDS Day?
My message to the population and to all those affected is that we've done well, we are here, but AIDS is still a problem, HIV is still a problem. There is no vaccine, there is no cure. So protect yourself. Everyone has a role to play, beginning with you as an individual. Take your test, know your status, protect your partner. Avoid discriminating those who may be HIV positive. Support them, get them to be on the medication. And if each of us makes our contribution, we shall end AIDS by 2030.
Dr. Nelson Musoba, thank you so much. It was great to have you on the show.
A pleasure.
That was Dr. Nelson Musoba, Executive Director of Uganda AIDS Commission. At least 300,000 children were newly infected with HIV in 2020, according to UNICEF. 2 in 5 children living with HIV worldwide do not know their status, and just over half of the children with HIV are receiving antiretroviral treatment. Experts say urgent efforts are needed to speed the process for HIV testing among children living with the virus in sub-Saharan Africa and countries with a high HIV burden. There have been tremendous progress made to lower the incidence of children born with HIV. Dr. Boris Kevin Chunga is Associate Director of Public Health Evaluation with the Elizabeth Glaser Pediatric AIDS Foundation, EGPAF. He discusses challenges and opportunities in the fight against pediatric AIDS.
We are making a lot of progress, especially with strategies like mother-baby cohort. So whenever a woman living with HIV is pregnant, we follow her and we follow the children once she delivers, and we make sure that the children is not infected. And if the children is infected, we make sure to put the children on treatment and follow him. And we also develop the optimized pediatric ARV treatment, which is making sure that all the children under treatment receive the most active available drugs. I mean, a lot still need to be done, especially with the adolescent group, because of, you see, transition, announcement of the status. You have the adolescent who should know their status and understand why they have to take ARV drugs for their whole life. And with children and adolescents, we have this challenge, this issue of drug resistance that we are also addressing. And EGPAF is partnering with other companies toward the New Horizon Collaborative to make sure that children and adolescents have access to second and third line ARV treatment like darunavir and other molecules to avoid children being resistant. During the last 3 to 4 years, we said user fee should no more be a barrier for a woman to receive PMTCT or for a child to receive treatment. And we have some of our programs where, in addition to complete elimination of user fee, we supported additional element like providing food, because sometimes people just don't come to the facility just because they are tired, they don't have food. We supply food. We have what we call patient-centered approach. A patient is not an HIV patient, he's a human, and we have to treat him an holistic way.
That's all for this edition of Health Chat. For more health news and medical breakthroughs, visit voaafrica.com. Thank you all for joining us, and special thanks to all our affiliate stations throughout Africa for carrying Health Chat. I'm your host, Linor Mudu, in Washington, with producer Mukbil Yabaro. Until next time,